We are finishing up this series of unity and diversity that we've been going through for quite a few weeks now. This is our last Sunday, so we're going to do a little recap of it. But I have this hunch that by the end of this series, because we've been in it for so long now, that everybody's like, we get it, Dave. We're supposed to be unified. We just get on with something else, would you? So we will get on to something else next week. Pastor Kevin's going to come back, and he'll be part of that and lead us into our new series, our next series. But I kind of end that way, too. I usually will sit in these series for several months before we ever even bring it to you guys. So by the time we get to the end of it, my ADD is like, I'm done. All right. Like, let's just be done with it, too. I'm ready to go. So the point is that we do need to be unified, but also that we need to not lose our diversity. We need to still be kind of like who we are. And so we want to get to that point today, because unity does not equal uniformity. All right. Unity does not equal uniformity. We do not all need to be alike, but we do need to be aligned. All right. We have to be on a path towards a common goal. In fact, we don't have to be alike. It is our greatest strength, our diversity. Our diversity is our greatest strength. So we want you to still be you. We want you to bring the best parts of yourself, bring the you that is you to the table, so that your strengths are enhancing everybody else's strengths and maybe covering up somebody else's weakness. And well, this church has a strength here and this church has a strength here, but they're not the same strengths. They come together in our diversity. We are unified. And so we've been kind of putting together a portrait of what unity looks like as three bodies come together. Now, I don't pretend to think that the six or seven sermons that we've had is an exhaustive portrait of what unity looks like. Certainly, there's probably other aspects of that that we've not mentioned or not named, but that's where we are. We can't do this all year. You're already tired of it. So we're not going to keep going. We're just going to name it. This is where we're at. This is what we're doing. It's kind of like a puzzle piece that, or puzzle pieces that we're putting together to put this portrait of unity together. My dad likes to do puzzles in the winter. It's kind of his winter project. Can't go outside and mess around on the out in the barns and stuff. So he likes to do puzzles. Anybody else puzzle people? Are y'all puzzle people? All right, we got a few puzzle people. Puzzles are great for people who like puzzles. And I'm so happy for you. So I'm going to use analogies, and maybe I don't know what I'm talking about here, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. My dad likes those big puzzles where basically all the colors are kind of the same and all the pieces kind of look a little bit the same. You're like, no way. Me too. Me too. I don't want that, because what you have there is uniformity. That's not a picture of diversity. That's a picture of uniformity, but it's a challenge. And for him, he loves those kinds of challenges. I admire that in him. I do not have that same kind of patience or tolerance, but he loved to do those things. In my mind, those puzzles don't represent that. They are a uniformity, so they do require more work. But the puzzles that I like are more like the ones on the screen, where it's like you kind of got some colors over here that are all kind of alike and some other colors over here that are alike. And so you can kind of see a blend of things. And so when you open up the box at first, this is what I do. I'm not a puzzle people, so you can tell me if I'm wrong. But you open up the box and you start getting all the orange ones that are alike and kind of put all over here. And then you get all the ones that are blue. You put them over here, and the white ones are here, and the brown ones are there. Kind of like put them all in their color-coded categories, if you will. And then while you're doing that, you find the ones that have the straight edge, right? They have the straight edge piece on it, and you kind of lay those out. Then you start to put the frame around. Am I doing right? Like, is this the thing you do? Okay. All right. At first service, either they were not responsive or they were lying. So I just ratted them out completely. So, but that's what you do. You kind of lay them all out so you can gather the framework. And that's what my dad would do, all of that work. And then here's what I would do. Dirty little secret. Davey, he would swipe one piece, hide it in his room. This is not the me that is me now, but the me that is me then, take one piece, hide it in my room. That way, at some point, dad's going to need that piece, right? It'll be the final piece. Where's the last piece? Well, dad, can't do without me now, can you? That's a kind of rotten thing that I would do, but not a great idea. You need to have a final piece to the puzzle to make the whole puzzle a whole portrait. You have to have all the pieces. All the pieces need to be there, or you have an incomplete portrait of what the picture should look like. It's incomplete without all the pieces. I would suggest for us that today we'll make communion our final piece of the puzzle so that we can have a commitment, a covenant, if you will, to come together to bring our piece of the puzzle into the portrait of unity that we're creating here. I do believe that in a scenario like ours, our puzzle picture that we're putting together is incomplete without communion. You see, when we've been working this hard lately over the last several weeks to figure out who we are, we've been building this framework around who we are. We're doing a lot of work on the administrative side to just get all of our ducks in a row. We're going to have this meeting on Tuesday that Mariah mentioned. We're going to talk about our merger agreements, and you all get a chance to look at all that after we... There's a framework being built. Meanwhile, we're also saying to folks, like, if you like children's ministry and you like the color orange, like, let's go over here, and all of you kind of children's folks come over here, and you know, all the blue people who like to... Now, you know, I'm just using colors as a representative. Well, you like hospitality and serving coffee, gather over here. If you're into tech stuff, like, we're going to gather all those folks over here. Now we're starting to gather middle school students, and we're gathering people who are doing music. Like, all of the different ways that we express ourselves in ministry, we're kind of gathering people into like-minded little groups. And while there's unity coming in there, there's not uniformity because everybody has a different shape than the other people. And each little piece of the puzzle, maybe it's all orange in this area, but everyone's unique. And you all bring your different flavor, your different color to that ministry that you do. And that is the kind of unity and diversity that we're looking for as we build together this tapestry that we have. And you know what? It's working. It's working. It's all of that stuff I just told you. It's happening. It's working. All the people are doing the things that would make those things become successful and help our church to thrive. But I will say, it's tough. It's been working, but it's also tough. Because there's also, as we create a new portrait, a new picture of what unity looks like, there's an old one that is no more. I went downtown on Church Street on, I forget, maybe Thursday. I don't know what day I went down there. And I walked Church Street where we used to have Engage Newark. And it made me sad because I realized Engage Newark is dead. Ouch. What we built, what we had, it is no more. And I suspect that everybody's feeling the same thing, but you insert your church name there. There's not any one entity left of the three congregations. We are now this new portrait. I like what the portrait's looking like, but I walked that street and I went, yeah, it's not here anymore. This is not it. In fact, they're having a pigeon problem. Just going to lay it out there. They're having a pigeon problem and all the associated problems that happens with pigeons. The ground is covered in it. Little Errors is still there, and I immediately called our landlord, like, hey, like, we still have a front entrance here, like, for Little Errors, like, we gotta clean this up. He's like, I've tried everything, get these pigeons out, I don't know what's going on. But I was like, the people aren't there anymore. We would have been taking care of that. And now we're just not there, and what we were is no more. It's a collective loss of some sort of identity that we had. But now we need to determine collectively what our identity will be. What is this picture that we're painting? What is this puzzle that we're putting together? What is it that we're going to be together in unity, not one entity being more dominant than another, but all of us coming together to be one? And the big question that I would have you to ask yourself today is this: how does my diversity fit into this unity? How does my puzzle piece fit into the larger picture of the whole and the whole thing that we're creating? How does my unique puzzle piece cut a little bit differently than everybody else's, colored just a little bit differently, and yet valuable, important, in fact, essential to make the whole picture whole. How does mine fit in? Because we can't have one missing piece. We need all of your pieces, all of our pieces together. And so I'm going to just talk through our messages that we've had so we can see all of the puzzle pieces laid out. But then at the end, we'll put in the last puzzle piece of communion together. And I'll ask you, how does your puzzle piece fit into the whole of the picture we are creating? Scripture I want to read this morning is Romans 12, 9 through 18. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. This passage gives us a list of being and doing, and it's all about love. Love is, be these things to show love or be love. Don't be these things about love. Do these things because of love. Don't do these things about love. Don't you love a good list? You can just check off like, yeah, I'm just doing these things. But it must all come from a heart of love. The idea is that if you love someone, then you will be this way in their presence, and that being will inform your doing. Your being informs your doing. Our love, who we are, informs our actions, what we do. If we say we love our neighbors around us, that should inform what we do to welcome our neighbors who live around us. The passage talks about living in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another, it said. Our second Sunday in the series, we read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. The title of that message was Love's Perfect Harmony. And if you're here at that second service, you remember Melanda who sang here today. She sang a harmony with Carrie, singing a melody. Do you remember that? It's been a while ago. Great. I'm thankful you do remember that. That's good. Our melody is unity. That's the thing we hum and we sing and we talk about. We want to be unified, 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 unity, unity, unity. But the harmony is love. Unity is what we do. Love is our harmony, what we are. Love is what we are. Unity is what we do. Let your being inform your doing. It's who you are, and it's what you do. That first Sunday was 1 Corinthians 12. It was all about the idea of different kinds of gifts, but there's only one Spirit. That one Spirit gives us our uniqueness. Our unique gifts make us all incredibly diverse from one another. It's how we get to have unique puzzle pieces that all look differently than each other. They make us diverse from each other. So maybe we put all the orangish pieces over here and all the bluish pieces over here, but every piece is unique. They aren't all the same. Some have a little bit of different color to them. One has a little bit different shape, a little stroke of another color going through. They all have their own uniqueness. That is our diversity. Unity in diversity is what we do. It's our melody. It's what we sing. Love is who we are. It's our harmony. It's what makes our melody beautiful. It's what makes people want to be a part of the unity. It's love was what makes us attractive to the people around us. Then after that, Pastor Kevin preached a message from Ephesians chapter 4 about the fruits of unity and how when we get together in unity and we allow the Holy Spirit to be a part of us and present among us, we see these fruits, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, unity and peace, and many more. The writer goes on in other books, other letters to describe the fruits of the Spirit. And when we plant seeds of unity and we do it in love, that fruit naturally comes from there. Humility, gentleness, patience, fear. These things just come naturally when we do love and unity together. It just happens. You don't have to work for it because it just happens. That's how fruit works. This is the best part of fruit. you go out and you plant your gardens in the spring, and you kind of have to till the soil, and you kind of prepare the soil, and then you plant the seed or plant the plant, and then you maybe do a little fertilizer, maybe you do a little water, sometimes the rain just comes at the right time, whatever, and then you don't see a tomato plant striving to produce tomatoes, do you? Tomato plants out there like, I'm going to pop one today. No, it just happens naturally because that's what fruit does. And so when we sow seeds of love and unity, the fruit of humility, gentleness, patience comes out naturally. You don't have to work for fruit. You don't have to give effort. It just happens. We continued on in Ephesians. The next week, we found the fivefold ministry of the Spirit. And there was this APES test tool that apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, a bunch of you took those tests and sent results back to Mariah and I. And it was really cool because then we could see the clear diversity that we have in our congregation. And the beauty of it is that we can't all, just one person cannot be all of those five things like Jesus is and was. But together, in maturity, in unity together, we have the fullness of Christ represented among us. We've got all of those giftings as number one profiles in our church among us. We need your puzzle piece to be a part of the picture that we are creating together. And then we talked about the barriers that we set up, the fences. It was the analogy that I used for that. We set up these fences that fences are designed to keep critters out. We want to keep the thing inside the fence pure and holy, right? So we set up these boundaries that people can't come in and affect us and make us unholy. Jesus died so that he could eliminate those fences, those barriers, so that everyone has access to immerse themselves into the fullness of Christ. Everybody has access to that. Shame on us if we put those fences back up. He's eliminated them so that everybody has access to the immersion of Jesus. And then that last Sunday where I preached on hope, I'll talk about that in a second. We had the hot tub up here, the holy hot tub. And we literally immersed people. We had baptism. It was beautiful. Are those pictures, are they there? Because we didn't talk about it before. Can you just scroll into those? Look, this is Addie Aber last Sunday. If you were here, you remember this, I'm sure. Addie got baptized. She's a longtime family member at Engage. And she said, just before we moved here, she said, I want to get baptized. And I was like, that's going to be tricky here. Can you wait until we get to the other church? And she's like, yeah, we can wait. We're talking family. We landed on this last Sunday. And how old is Addie? She's 9, okay? She's 9 years old. And see all of her classmates, many of whom were up here earlier, see all of her classmates surrounded her, brought the kids down. They were sitting here. As soon as Addie got in the tub, those kids popped up and they wanted to be, they wanted to witness it right close, which was amazing. And what was cool to me, two things, they were dipping their hands in it. Like they were immersing themselves in it. They wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to experience it for themselves. Yeah, they wanted to play too, but that's a memory that they'll always have with them. The other thing is, I'm there. You can see me in that tub there. I'm the really shiny head. All right? That's the one. That's me. And when we put her down and I put her back up, I looked out. I could see. She's right here. I see her, and I see all these little faces there. And then I could see all of your faces beyond them. And, like, I mean, it's making me a little emotional now because I could see the diversity that's represented in this room. You couldn't see it as well. But I could see. I wish I had a picture from my angle so you could see that. And the community that Addie now has around her, because all of y'all said, we're going to support you. We're going to raise you up in this community together. Let's show the next slide just so we can have Shiloh up there too. Shiloh's here somewhere. There, she's way in the back in the corner. She got baptized last week too. And she asked me a couple of weeks ago, like, yeah, I am ready. Longtime person coming, member of Engaging, served at Little Arrows and came up through a Little Arrows and started coming to church. And she's like, I'm ready to get baptized. I'm like, well, Addie Aber's doing it a couple of weeks. You want to jump in too? So she did. And you can see the person on the far right at the top is your good friend. And she came to support Shiloh, and then all of the children and all of you all have said, we are in this together, fully immersed in Christ. Water is just the representation. The rest of it is all of us living together in unity. And Mariah preached an amazing sermon about hope. She talked about how the challenges of life, the sufferings in life produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character brings hope. And hope is our response to the challenges that we face. And each of us are facing challenges individually throughout life. We have a need for perseverance at all times. But then also, all of us together have this challenge of our identities being lost, what we were as Engage Newark, Church in the Mall, Christian Endeavor, what we were, it is no more. And now here we are, we're coming together to create something new. And that is where we can find our hope. We find our hope in the unity that Jesus has provided for us. And so today, we want to create a covenant that we are going to individually bring our puzzle piece and add it to the picture. That we're gonna step into this, and we might have to gather up with some of the orange folk up in the children's ministry because they're crazy and orange up there. We might have to pour some coffee or greet somebody, hand out a bulletin, sing a song, whatever that is for you, whatever that looks like for you. What does your diversity look like in the midst of the unity that's taking place here in our midst? How will your puzzle piece fit into the unity of the kingdom? We're going to